Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus. Again, a portion of the Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 3, the baptism of Christ. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is God's word. Please be seated. Now, baptismal services such as we've witnessed today are so important for the life of the church, and they are such a joy for me personally. I think I have to say it's one of the most joyful aspects of the ordained ministry to be able to do what I did here today and to baptize this child. All baptisms are awesome moments. But there are some that I recall with special clarity, not because anyone is more important than anyone else, but because of unique circumstances surrounding those baptisms. I recall the oldest couple I ever baptized, Anderson and Vera Whitcomb, up in Michigan. They were in their 80s, and for decades and decades, their daughter, who had been a longtime member of the church, had been witnessing the Christian faith to them and was inviting them to church. And finally, they conceded. They came to worship with her for a while, and I went to visit them. And after some instruction, they finally took the baptismal plunge. And over 8 decades after they had been born of the flesh, they were born again of the water and the Word. A beautiful moment in my ministry. I remember baptizing my own children, of course, the most unique of which was probably number 3, who was baptized in an incubator at Community Hospital in Battle Creek, Michigan, just moments before getting a helicopter ride to the University of Michigan Hospitals, where they, we like to say, saved his life. And we always laugh at that. Imagine that, saved by the University of Michigan, only to become a Buckeye. I'm glad they didn't know that at the time. I remember baptizing triplets, an entire family, a man on his deathbed. And I'll tell you what, it is thrilling every time you sprinkle that water in the name of the Triune God, knowing that in baptism God is working a miracle, creating faith, connecting people to the resurrection, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we read in Romans 6 this morning. I know not everyone thinks of baptism in those terms. I think for some people, baptism is a, sort of joining the Jesus Club. They figure it's kind of like joining the Brownies or the Boy Scouts or the Chamber or the Kiwanis. You go through the ritual of initiation and you're in, but be careful now to obey the rules and you'll do fine. And in the Jesus Club, after your baptism, just, follow the Jesus rules that we have here in this club and you'll do fine. Some people think of baptism in those terms. Others think of baptism, it seems like, as a kind of a health insurance. I remember some parents who were planning a trip with their infant, but they didn't want to go on this trip until their baby had been baptized for fear that their baby might die in an accident and go to hell. And I talked with them about that and tried to set them their minds at ease, but we did the baptism, of course, and then when the certificates weren't ready on the day of the baptism because of a mistake that was made, the parents insisted that they wanted these baptism certificates the next Monday morning before they departed on this trip. It seemed like, I guess, so that they could prove this child was baptized in case something happened to it, kind of like a hell insurance card that you should keep in your glove compartment all the time. And some people, it seems, and this is for us, seem to think that baptism is a kind of a public unveiling of their little work of art. It's the baby show and tell. Hey world, here's my baby. Is that harsh? But what are we supposed to conclude when parents are so diligent about bringing their babies to baptism and then so seldom ever bring them again in fulfillment of the promise that they made as parents? Whatever such parents think about baptism, it's clear that they haven't quite got it straight in their mind yet, what baptism really is. Today, on this first Sunday of Epiphany, I want to focus on this gospel reading, on the baptism of Jesus Christ, as a way, probably the best way, for us to understand our own baptism into Jesus. And there are three points that I'd like to make, and they all start with S, so they'll be easy to remember, and they are Son, Spirit, and Servant. The first S is Son. This is my beloved Son, the Father said at the baptism of Jesus. Now, of course, Jesus is uniquely the Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, but in baptism, we just as surely become the adopted sons and daughters of our God. As Paul said in Galatians, in the section in which he was discussing baptism, he said, "In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ." That's how radically we've been changed by baptism. Once we were his enemies, the Bible says, by nature the objects of his wrath, and now through faith and baptism we are his sons and daughters. It has radically transformed our relationship with God. There is now a closeness and an intimacy that would not have been possible otherwise. I always like those old black and white photos of President JFK in the Oval Office with his kids, and you know what I'm talking about, some of you. Now, if you or I were to step into the Oval Office, into the company of the President, my goodness, we would be very formal and stiff in our posture, in our dress, and in our language, as appropriate as we could possibly be. But when little Caroline and John Jr. were in the Oval Office with the President, there was no formality there. They were skipping around and playing and crawling under the desk and opening up and peeking out from under the desk. Because although he is the President, more than that, he's their dad. And their relationship is close and loving. That's what happened to us in baptism. The Almighty God and Father of this creation and world has now become our Father. You are my beloved son, my precious daughter. And that relationship has forever been transformed. We are as closely connected to Almighty God as a dear son, a dear child, is to his dear father. And if you ever want to know what God feels about you, remember how it felt when you delighted in a child. That's how God feels about you. He delights in those of us who belong to him through our baptism in his Son. All right, the second S is Spirit. The Spirit of God descended like a dove and lighted upon him. In the power of that same Spirit that had once hovered over the face of the waters in the creation, Jesus now turned water into wine. He calmed the storms. He cured the lepers. He healed the deaf and the blind, and he cast out demons. In the wisdom of that same Spirit that had once enabled the prophets to speak with boldness and authority, Jesus taught the crowds. He confounded those who thought they were wise. He rebuked the false teachers, and he spoke the truth. And in the counsel of that same Spirit that had once enabled King David to govern prudently, Jesus now knows the need of every heart. Those that are broken, he salved with the gospel. Those that were hardened, he crushed with condemnation. And that same Spirit that lighted upon him in his baptism now lives in us through our baptism into Christ. And by the power of that same Spirit, we find the strength to meet life's challenges and sadnesses and trials. By the wisdom of that same Spirit, we come to know and to believe the precious Word of God, and to trust His gospel, and to boldly represent Him out there in the world as His witnesses. And by the counsel of that Spirit, we find the grace to deal with people appropriately and in love, bold to confront sin, both in ourselves and in others when needed, slow to anger, quick to forgive, eager to encourage, It's amazing what happens to people when the Holy Spirit descends upon them in baptism and alights upon them. And then the third S is servant. The words of the Father, "This is my beloved Son." God didn't just pull those words out of the blue. They are a quotation from the book of Isaiah, from the suffering servant song of Isaiah. So by these words, the Father is declaring the identity of His Son. This is the suffering servant that Isaiah had prophesied would come. He is the one in whom the covenant to the nations will be sealed by blood. He is the one who carried the sins of the world to the cross in humble service to all of us. We were baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, but not Jesus. He had no sin, as we sang in the hymn. Jesus was baptized not to get rid of sins, but wonder of wonders, in order to carry our sins. You know, someone once observed that the waters of the Jordan River, where John was baptizing all of these sinners, had become filthy and polluted and foul with all of the sins that were being washed away. And that the reason Jesus stepped into those polluted and foul waters was not himself to get clean, but to get dirty by absorbing all of that sin into himself and bearing those sins to the cross. And so he served us. He became filthy with our filth. He suffered what we should have suffered, and he died how we should have died, so that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. So why was his baptism and ours necessary? There's a great story about an incident that took place in a downtown inner-city mission in a Skid Row kind of setting. And the rule at this inner-city mission was that if you were a transient or a homeless who wanted to eat and sleep at this mission, you were required to attend the daily worship service in the evening. That was the bargain, because that was the swap if you wanted to eat and sleep there. Well, different preachers would come in from the area and conduct these worship services. And one evening, the preacher du jour was a man who fancied himself a great orator. Back in high school, he had memorized Kipling's poem, If, for a thespian contest. And he got the brilliant idea that he was going to use this poem that night in this Skid Row mission. So there he stands up in front of all of these homeless and transient people. And he puffs up his chest and he begins to quote Kipling's poem. If you men could keep your heads when all about you are losing theirs, if you can trust yourself when all others doubt you, if you can wait and not grow tired of waiting, or being lied about, not deal in lies, or being hated, not give way to hating, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can talk with the crowds and keep your virtues, if you men can fulfill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds left of distant run, yours is the earth and everything in it. And what is more, you will be a man, my son. And as this pastor recited this poem, the thespian in him was choking up with emotion. He was on the verge of tears and filled with all of these deep feelings. And there was this long silence when he finished. And in that silence, a voice from the back of the room piped up, "But what if you can't?" That's a great question, isn't it? What if you can't? What if you're like Paul in Romans? You know, I want to do what's right, but I can't. And the evil I hate, I keep on doing. What if you can't? What if you can't trust yourself? What if you can't keep your head about you? What if you're tired of waiting? What if you can't resist the urge for revenge? What if you can't stop those feelings of hatred? What if you can't keep your virtue when the crowd is pressing you? What if you can't meet triumph and disaster just the same? What then? then you hear the words that you've been baptized. And that all of your burdens and your failures and your imperfections and your disappointments have been loaded onto the back of Christ, that pack mule of our sorrows, that suffering servant who carries them all to the cross on our behalf and nails them there forever. In your baptism, you hear the words that Jesus Christ is the suffering servant who carries the sins of the whole world. Baptism? Some folks see it as hell insurance to protect the baptized from the fiery wrath of God. Others think of it as a rite of initiation into the Jesus Club, as long as you promise to do, you know, live by the rules now. And some parents, just judged on the way they live their lives and deal with their children by not following up very well on their parental promise, they give the impression that for them, baptism is a sort of a baby show and tell, a public unveiling of their precious little work of art. But if you really want to know what baptism is all about, you need look no further than the baptism of your Lord. In his baptism, he was proclaimed to be the very Son of God who delighted the Father, the same as you in your baptism. In his baptism, Jesus received the Holy Spirit, same as you in your baptism. And in baptism, Jesus is identified as the servant of God, same as you in your baptism, who have been called now to live your baptism every day as you serve God and love your neighbor. In the name of Christ, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.